Yeah, today is January 21st, 2022. The website is located at harrythomas.info and harrythomasshow.com. This is the Harry Thomas Show Week in Review. I'm your host, Harry Thomas. The lead story today is InfoWars host Owen Schroyer. I found in the front page of Microsoft News. It was put out by Law and Crime. InfoWars host motion to dismiss January 6 charges are denied. Oh, the lawyer hints at the future First Amendment fight. Now, I did already cover this just on the BitChute. A BitChute video before this. It didn't go out on Podomatic. But what's arised out of this. Now this was written by Marissa Sarnoff out of this Law and Crime place. Now I did a BitChute video on this story. Now the funny thing that I did notice that I didn't point out, it's not that funny, was the headline says the motion to dismiss was denied, but his lawyer hints at a future First Amendment fight. But in the article, you can't read any rest of it unless, I guess, you sign up or you're a subscriber or something. I'm not going to go through all that. But it was this, and I talked about a story that he had on his show yesterday morning about a cerebral palsy disabled young woman in a wheelchair who was denied a meal in New York City because she wasn't vaccinated because of her concerns about her medical condition and the fact that the vaccines are just FDA authorized and not FDA approved. And there's no real research or real answer to get onto what you're putting into your body. And the young woman was so well outspoken, and she was just so determined, you know, that she wanted to get arrested. She brought her own meal. They wouldn't serve her, but her and her friend, she brought her own meal, and they arrested her and all of her friends. And she just wants to get into the court system so she could legally fight this thing. What a woman of courage. And so well spoken and so of good temperament. And she even said the police were good to her and everything. You know, but just to hear her talk and to know that there are just people of good wit and good common sense in the world. And all that, but you know, I covered this already. This news story, they're just, you know, making a mockery of Owen Schroyer and you know, trying to you know, they're using their own their old mainstream tactics of, you know, exaggerating things that are just not even, shouldn't be exaggerated. They've got like 1776 in caps with a exclamation point with parentheses around it. He led the crowd in a 1776 chant over stepping over a, and then they don't even have a sign. Like, it's got bad grammar and everything. You know, stepping over that said area closed. Yeah, what does that mean? He said he led a crowd in a 1776 chant before stepping over that said area closed. These are supposed to be professional writers and stuff. And it only take you your first article to find all kinds of grammar, you know, just simple elementary school grammar mistakes. I don't think I mentioned this video originally went up on YouTube and was removed and banned, and I got a strike against me on my YouTube channel for covering just this morning's news. I mean, this was mainstream media. I quoted the sources. I didn't give out any bad information, and YouTube banned it. So What Is Up on BitChute is the banned YouTube video from my YouTube upload where I'm talking to my YouTube audience even. It was this. I talked about that. There was a couple other breaking news stories. Let me look here in my folder. Here, I'm not working off Google Chrome anymore. A singer died deliberately after catching COVID-19. Now, this one was, her husband and her son were vaccinated, and she caught COVID from them. And the media spinning it. That, you know, she deliberately caught COVID by being around her son and her husband who were vaccinated. But apparently they tested positive, but she wanted to stay around with them anyway. You know, but I got this stuff. I knew that, you know, this was breaking news. And I did it on YouTube anyway. And, you know, I just went by the book. I mean, this is all breaking news. And the other one, I actually already had heard about on, who was talking? I think it was, I think I heard something about it from Harrison Smith. Oh, no, or maybe it was Owen Schroyer. Doing some research, but, Rob Dew found it. And they called him in to explain what was all about. He had just found it. It was some kind of breaking news. I was listening to it on my Audible podcast, The War Room. On Audible, it's like the only good podcast on there beside mine. But the placebo effect, and this I noticed after that, you know, when they say something and then they say, and Rob Dewey said, "You're going to start seeing this everywhere, mark my words." And sure enough, yesterday morning, 10:43 a.m., ABC News, placebo effect, the true cause of many reported COVID-19 vaccine side effects, a study says. So I said, wow, this is big news. Oh, and there's that sexy redhead again. See, and then they always put that on there that takes my, not only my breath away, but my eyes away. Many continue to worry about them experiencing side effects from the vaccines, especially COVID-19 vaccine. And this, again, was ABC News. And it was a story running on Microsoft News, which is on my browser. Billy's browser, like I said. So, and it says, and again, I can't read the whole damn thing, show full articles without continue reading in button. And I think it brings you the thing, they want your information. I don't care, I'm not giving it to them. But it says here, researchers examined 12 vaccine safety trials involving thousands of people and compared rates of side effects reported between those who received a placebo shot and those who received a real shot. They found that after the first shot, 2/3 of people experienced side effects, like headache and fatigue, which the researchers said were attributable to placebo effect. Wow. Shockingly, nearly a quarter of the people, some of who received the placebo shot, experienced side effects like a sore arm, also attributable to the placebo effect. And it did say where the study came from and all that. So I must have been able to read more. Because the study, it said, why do some people get side effects after COVID-19? Now, did they add on to this? Because I don't remember any of this. It's a well-known phenomenon among scientists. It's important to investigate when developing vaccines and medicines, according to Dr. William Schaffner, professor of preventive medicine and infectious disease at Vanderbilt University. Boy, he sounds important, doesn't he? I bet he's not. But he's bought and paid for. Oh yeah, they've added on to this. Or they took out where they named but it's on my podcast. Maybe that's why YouTube banned my video. In my other video, I named the research thing and I tell people they should go try to get the paper themselves. And it came out of Israel. Like, is real. Like, the study is real. But anyway, I don't know if, really, and I'm being serious, sarcasm must be in the really small print in the community policies over there at YouTube because I didn't see it at all and I looked. Believe me. The quote, this come out of Yahoo Finance by Angeli Camignani. And it's pretty interesting here. COVID-19 elimination isn't going to be possible with this virus, a virologist said. And I immediately looked it up and said, "What the hell? Who's the virologist that said this?" And so I find this. I find out who this so I immediately I don't even read it because I want to find out what kind of virologist is this Angela Rasmussen, and I want to find out which kind of connections does she have to the elite, like what kind of school does she go to, and I'm thinking, yeah, it's probably Yale or Harvard, virology. Excuse me there. So then I find this. Dr. Ramison is a virologist studying most responsive to infection by combining classical virology with modern systems biology approaches. Her research objectives to identify host responsive signatures. Let me get this right. It's white on very light. It's hard for me to read. Predictive of infection severity or disease outcome and host pathway to target drug development repurposing. She is particularly interested in viruses that are highly pathogenic. Newly emergent or likely to emerge because of climate change, land development, or ecological disruption. Currently, she's focused on the SARS-CoV-2. As well as other emerging pathogens with potential to profoundly impact global health, such as Ebola virus, MERS-CoV, influenza virus, and hemorrhagic fever virus. Viruses. Oh my God, she works closely with other faculty and affiliates within the GHSS on the Viral Emergency Research Initiative, the VERNA Consortium. Oh my God, what's the VERNA Consortium? That sounds pretty important, doesn't it? Because yeah, I don't like reading the articles first until I like to see where the information is really coming from. And that's where most people go wrong when they do their research, is they just like read the article and take their, whoever, what is this, ABC News this time? Or I don't even, it doesn't really matter which one it is. So I found out already with just reading who the virologist is that is making this claim that COVID-19 is never going to end. And I can find out right now where this propaganda is coming to just by looking just a little bit into her background. I mean, it's not that hard. This is what I found out is, she's partnered here with the Center for Global Health and Security at Georgetown University, which is, directed by Rebecca Katz, formally established in September 2016. But that Georgetown is an elitist university. That's really a breeding ground for globalists. And speaking of globalists, the next one right here in line is GBAT Net, which is the Global Union at Bat Diversity Networks, which brings together 14 existing bat networks committed to securing sustainable bat populations in a changing world through interdisciplinary research and conservation. So this woman is a conservationist, scientist, virologist, researcher who wants to save the planet, save the bats, and research viral science at the same time. Oh, and if that ain't enough, she's also partnered with the Bat Health Foundation, which is bringing science out of the cave. Oh God, are you kidding me? The Bat Health Foundation, directed by two DVM PhDs, was founded in 2021. The mission of that health foundation is to generate and synthesize freely available data related to bat health to serve as a resource for scientists, medical, and animal health professionals, thereby unifying the fields of public health and bat science. Holy crap! This woman's an animal. Oh my God, you don't even want to know. I just took a break and went down this huge rabbit hill. I'm gonna have to do another report on that. What I just learned, it's very actually shocking. I'm going to go on with this article actually. Angela Ramison, a virologist at the Vaccine and Infectious Disease Organization at the University of Saskatchewan, told Yahoo Finance Live that ending the COVID-19 vaccine isn't likely to end anytime soon. What she's endemicity is what we're really talking about. Endemicity? Is that a word? Endemicity? As she said, one reason COVID-19 may be here to stay is because of its ability to infect different animals. I don't think that elimination is going to be possible with this virus. This virus infects a number of different animal species. And even if every human being on the planet were vaccinated, there's still potentially susceptible hosts in the form of other animals that this virus could get into, Ramison said. Well, she would know because she's got her hands all in it. Let me tell you, new variants. The threat of new variants to evade vaccines lingers around the world. The World Health Organization's Director of Emergency Programs, Dr. Mike Ryan, said, as much as the World Economic Forum's virtual Davos Group Wait, what? The World Health Organization's Director of Emergency Program, Dr. Mike Ryan, said as much at the World Economic Forum's virtual Davos event this year. So this Dr. Mike Ryan said this at the Davos event, what she said. So here it is, coming from the day, there's her connection, the World Economic Forum of the Davos. We won't end this virus this year. We may never end this virus. These pandemic viruses end up becoming part of the ecosystem, Ryan said. Oh my God, and that's a Davis Group guy. Oh my Lord, Lordy, Lordy, Lordy.
They reduce the length of time that a person is infected. And at population level, this significantly reduces transmission. And we've eliminated effectively or gotten to very, very low endemic levels of many viruses using vaccines.
I mean, this has the potential to spread at a much more rapid rate, even if it's not as lethal.
So we just had this headline with respect to the CDC confirming its first case of the coronavirus in the US.
It's confirmed that one case from a traveler from China in Seattle has been confirmed just now by the CDC.
We went from being probably one of the most booming and productive economies in America, with cranes everywhere building new buildings and high unemployment, to an economy that is virtually shut down now.
We have therefore made the assessment that COVID-19 can be characterized as a pandemic.
To keep new cases from entering our shores, we will be suspending all travel from Europe to the United States for the next 30 days.
Our final numbers here will be below 23,641. That means the Dow enters a bear market.
Wait and see what happens is really the clear message right now from officials across the departments in the US.
Welcome to Yahoo Finance Live. I'm Akiko Fujita along with Brad Smith. It was roughly 2 years ago today when the first COVID-19 case in the US was reported. Test results in Washington State confirmed that case several days later. And over the next hour, we're going to be taking a closer look at the progress that has been made so far and the challenges that still lie ahead. I want to
What the
start,
heck
though,
is
with where
this?
things stand right now. And Brad, these numbers really do tell this story. 334 million COVID cases confirmed globally, roughly 68 million reported in the US, and 854,000 people have died from the virus in this country alone.
That's right. And while the U.S. and the world still battles back against COVID-19, acceleration in scientific research, development, and production, they continue to offer a critical solution. These developments, they come in the form of testing to counter the spread of the virus and vaccines for protection against infection, plus the prevention of hospitalization and death. So in the U.S., by the numbers here, 209.3 million people have now been fully vaccinated, with 529 million shots total administered. And as variants prompt demand for people to know whether or not they have been infected, 3.4 million tests were still being administered on January 17th, 2022, roughly 2 years after the first COVID-19 case was tested for, Akiko.
You just alluded to that recent wave that we saw in infections. That's led a lot of people to say, why have we not seen the progress that we expected when the vaccines first came out a year ago? We had a chance to speak with top White House medical advisor, Dr. Anthony Fauci, about where things stand today and why some say progress has been slower than expected. Take a listen.
Well, I think virtually everyone thought that when we had a vaccine as effective and safe as the vaccines we'd have now, that we would get enough people vaccinated that we would handle the variant that we were dealing with, and that we would have a
You got
diminution of infection,
80%.
not only in the United States, but hopefully, if we were able to get vaccines to the low and middle income countries, that we could also essentially get our arms around, as it were, the pandemic globally.
I want to bring in Yahoo Finance's healthcare reporter, Anjali Kamlani, who has really been on top of this story from the very beginning of the pandemic. And Anjali, you had that conversation with Dr. Fauci. You know, it's not just about the vaccines, but it's also about the testing. A lot of people asking themselves 2 years on, why is it that it feels like we're kind of going at a slower pace in terms of progress? What more did you hear
testing
from Dr. Fauci?
Fauci gets all the testing part of it, right?
And I pose the same question to him, quite honestly, because we also know that with the continued strain on access to testing, as well as masking, we know the Biden administration is set to announce N95s, and we've seen that upgrade push for masks. All of these things have been largely not communicated well in terms of what is unexpected and what was supposed to be unexpected. And with every turn, more
every turn, they're making more and more money.
And
finance, Yahoo Finance,
focus on equity, and I think that has still largely lagged. We've seen, that it's still
Fauci's making all the money here
because
he owns the patents,
equitably distributed.
And I pointed out him and Barrett
at home testing
and the NIH
saying that the White House is going to be looking at prioritizing the at home test for
at home test now
areas where there's really
for what,
and so that really is where we are 2 years later, where it hasn't been predictable in terms of when the waves will hit or how badly they'll hit, but we know that the waves are expected, and I think that kind of remains the bottom line here.
The waves.
And Anjali, you're sticking around for the hour, but I want to bring in our first vantage point. I see that there are, two camps essentially out there. One saying, with Omicron, there are signs that this virus could be less fatal and just something that we can live with. And others are saying that that doesn't necessarily make sense chronologically. Doesn't mean that the next variant of concern is not going to be really of concern, can escape. How do you see this playing out, especially for how you consider what 2022 is supposed to look like?
Yeah, I think this discussion about whether Omicron is milder can lead to some really harmful places. So it is certainly good news that in people who've had a prior exposure, prior infection, or have been vaccinated and ideally boosted, do tend to have a less severe disease caused by Omicron if they have a breakthrough infection. And I should add too that while boosters can't completely protect somebody from getting infected with Omicron, they certainly reduce the risk of being infected. So they do reduce transmission.
It's really important to get those boosters.
But there are still many, many people in the U.S., 40% of the population roughly, that that have not been vaccinated. And I'm not convinced that Omicron is actually milder in those people. And of the people who are being hospitalized, we are seeing the unvaccinated, again, having the most serious and severe outcomes.
That is an outright lie.
Furthermore, people who have been vaccinated who get Omicron don't necessarily, they might not die, they might not be hospitalized, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's mild. Certainly people have taken a long time to recover from having a so-called mild case of COVID that doesn't require hospitalization. So the best thing that we all need to be focusing on is doing everything that we can to reduce prevalence in the community. That means wearing masks, taking precautions, and getting vaccinated and boosted.
Why don't you treat it early and save some lives?
Certainly a possibility that new variants will emerge. Worldwide, there are still 3 billion people who have not gotten any doses of any vaccine.
Well, good.
So that's certainly fertile ground.
Keep your hands off.
To propagate and emerge into the rest of the population. And frankly, we may not be so lucky next time if it's significantly different than Omicron or any of the other variants that have circulated before. There's certainly the possibility of more breakthrough infections, and there's certainly the more possibility of a variant that is more pathogenic.
She just said fertilize and propagate.
On the transmission part and getting it to a low point, I know there's lots of discussion now
about
the
fertilize and propagate the third world with vaccines
virus,
of 3 billion and eight.
Looking back, I think
initially, she's an animal.
So much was unknown about how quickly the virus would mutate and whether or not it would be concerning mutations. 2 years later, what do we know about, and how did we get to the point where we're talking about endemicity versus getting rid of this virus altogether?
Endemicity?
So, frankly, I don't think that elimination is going to be possible with this virus.
Oh, my God.
This virus infects a number of different animal species. This is actually one thing that my lab works on. And even if every human being on the planet was vaccinated, they're still potentially susceptible hosts in the form of other animals that this virus could get into. So endemicity is really what we're talking about.
Oh my God.
But I don't think a lot of people really have a good understanding of what endemicity means. Endemicity doesn't mean that it's milder. It also doesn't mean that it's spreading like crazy either. It means that there's a regular and predictable level of spread. So if we get to the point where the global population has reached population immunity, even if new variants that are emerging can infect people who have been vaccinated or immunized, that doesn't necessarily mean that the virus is just going to be spreading among them as if it were spreading through a susceptible population.
As I
mentioned before, even vaccines that aren't completely protective against infection do reduce transmission. And part of the reason for this is that they may not be able to stop the infection altogether, but they do reduce the amount of virus that a person is shedding. They reduce the length of time that a person is infected. And at population level, this significantly reduces transmission.
This woman is taking her orders from Davos Group, Klaus Schwab. That's her connection. There's the propaganda.
So I think that's what we're looking at with endemicity.
She's a Georgetown elitist.
The population remains unvaccinated.
She is.
And 40% of the U.S. population remains unvaccinated. This is something that we're going to continue to see. We're going to continue to see epidemic spread of SARS coronavirus 2 variants like we're seeing with Omicron. And that is not a constant predictable level of spread. That is a huge surge in new cases that can potentially overwhelm healthcare systems.
This is the enemy, folks.
Endemicity is really the goal. But to get there, we need to both reduce the amount of virus that's circulating in the human population and make humans in general less susceptible to being infected by vaccinating and boosting everybody that we can.
Yeah, that's the enemy, folks, right there. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. See, it's people like that that you got to watch out for. And I'm going to look into this bat cave. Who the hell they got in the bat cave? Robin? They got him tied up in there? The hell is it? They're talking like, oh yeah, well, this stuff's coming out of the cave. What else are they gonna have coming out of the cave? I know they need events. I know they're not. This show got off track somehow. Eh, not really. But I know they need events because of January 6th. They're demonizing the American public with all these false flags. They really got a lot of cards that they could play on the table here. But it seems like they're going to push this pandemic one for whatever they got, forever it's worth. They're going to make food out of vaccines. I already talked about that. Funny enough, I came across an old article I forgot all about from 2010 that they were trying to put the vaccines in the food back then. They had projects. So this is where these projects come out, is these eco-science maniacs that mix with the virologists and the pharmaceutical vaccine companies that are working with the Davos Economic Group, you know, that, you know, work all together, man. She's probably got her name on some patents in this billion-dollar mix, too, just like Fauci and Barrick and all the whole rest of the gang does, that I named all the patents the testing and, you know, Bill Gates is heavily invested in this. So investigating this organization that this woman is involved in led me to all these other people. You should see them too, though. They look like they just came off the cheerleader team from high school. These research, they're fresh. They're fresh out of college. Georgetown, they're all recruits. They're all recruits in this new thing that some of it's been just created in 2021, working with this, mixing this environmental science with virology in search of new ways to keep it from, it's all coming out of the cave. Oh my God, I gotta look into this, but just from what I looked into, it's definitely warranting a Harry Thomas special report over at harrythomas.info. Well, let me get off the browser and into this other news here. You know, so, you know, Biden's ratings are really low. I was just talking about needing a false flag. And that's usually around the time when we see something happening is when presidential and administrative ratings are really low. And we got a couple of class clowns in there right now with this Harris and Kamala. Now, let me give you an analysis of what I think is happening here. Well, I don't think Biden's going to make out the administration, and I don't think the New World Order ever intended them to tell you the truth. I mean, I just came on the scene again back in August from after almost a decade of not watching the horse and pony show in the media. I had went off on my own investigative and research ventures. But, you know, from what I've been studying over the last 6 months is very, very disturbing to me of how fast the New World Order's globalist agenda is advancing and how susceptible the American public and the world population in general is, you know, receiving it and just falling for it, hook, line, and sinker. Now, a lot of this is, you know, on the table for the globalists. They have all kinds of things out there for them. Now, one of them could be an extreme health issue. And then we could have our first female, black, Puerto Rican, Latino, I don't even know what she is, cross-gender, transsexual, mixed up, screwed up. Designer for a president, which wouldn't really surprise me in this 1984 world we're living in. But, I mean, that would be even a bigger mess. So I don't think there's going to be another election, to tell you the truth, because summer's coming. And I was thinking about them George Floyd uprisings and what the president said. He was comparing, George Floyd to Martin Luther King on Martin Luther King Day. I mean, holy crap. I almost pooped my pants, Biden. My God, that guy. Whoever's feeding him his lines really is... adept in mind control, adept in devious manipulation, is definitely taking his orders from that Heinz Kleck. I can't pronounce people's names. You know that German Nazi, that mind guy. But holy crap, it is a freaking unbelievable time. It is an unbelievable time. But what I think is also on the table, besides a fake alien invasion with these holographic technology that I reported over a decade ago that they have, could be that, trying to scare the pants out of the public with a threat from outside of this world to get the people united under them to protect us from them out there. What else could get us united against them? A war which seems to be steam potting around with Biden, like changing his unofficial changes about our foreign policy, the nuclear reign as the chief joint staff, which is high acts of treason, while there was another president still in the administration. And not only did he take over that, with Pelosi and Schumer's help, I might add, but he called the Chinese military, the head of the, and told him that Trump was planning a coup to take back over the country. And then they planted the feds and that Ray guy to start up the crap on January 6th to blame it on the American people, which was a false flag, which I knew if something was up on that when I was watching it live. before I even started the show back up. So I've been watching this stuff unfold since you guys locked me down. An uprising, they could turn that into a very violent thing. They could stage some uprising to blame on the American people to lock us down. A weapon siege seems very unlikely at this point because it's so ingrained and it would get the militias really. But that's really what they want. I mean, they want an uprising. They want an uprising so they can blame it on us. But what they also want an uprising in a revolutionary type style where the people would rise up and try to take over government buildings and stuff so they could blame that on the American people, because the general public just is too far gone in a mesmeronic state that they wouldn't accept something like that. I agree with Alex Jones's analysis. Even though there's people out there saying, oh, he's a gatekeeper, this is where he gatekeeps, and this is where he steers his flock of sheep wrong over there. And you know, but I don't agree with that. And I agree that this is no time for a violent, deadly revolution, because we're outmanned and we're outgunned by the New World Order. This is a war for your mind. And the mind is in the military and the police officers and the special ops and the agents that are listening to this show. What are you doing it for? They're coming after your kids too, you know. But anyway, speaking of Pelosi, which I barely did, she was in on that frickin' high treason with General Milley. What you guys need to do, intelligence officers, is to start locking the real criminals up, like Milley and Fauci and Pelosi and Schumer and, you know, and Biden's handlers. But this was very interesting since I didn't do a show last week because I was sick and everything. I did have shows out at HarryThomas.club and HarryThomas.info. You can find everything that is in the Harry Thomas world. But it was 1 year of Biden, and there was a bunch of stuff out. And this just happened to be some of it.
With Joe Biden's week from hell, the president hasn't had a week like this since his disgraceful and deadly retreat from Kabul. He saw his entire agenda fall apart in real time these past 7 days. And even someone as out of it as Sleepy Joe has to realize things are getting bad. On Monday, the U.S. shattered records with over 1.3 million COVID cases in a single day. For the guy who promised America he would shut down the virus, it seems like he's doing the exact opposite. So Biden's week started off 0-1. On Tuesday, things only got worse for the embattled president. Biden went down to Georgia to attack the filibuster.
I believe that the threat to our democracy is so grave that we must find a way to pass these voting rights bills. We have no option but to change the Senate rules, including getting rid of the filibuster for this.
Biden's speech caught flack from both sides of the aisle as he trashed Senate rules and looked to smear any American who cares about election integrity as a racist. So, if you're keeping score at home, that's 0-2 for Biden this week. And if you thought things were getting any better as the week moved on, think again. On Wednesday, the Labor Department announced the consumer price index jumped 7% in December, the worst since 1982. Thanks to Biden's poor economic policies, prices are the highest they've been in 40 years. Now, you know how your wallet's been feeling a little light lately? Well, you can thank Joe Biden for that. And the pain didn't stop there, as the release of a new poll highlighted Biden's fall from grace. His job performance rating hit a new low, with only 33% of Americans saying they approve of Biden and more than 50% disapproving. And that was only Wednesday, which brings us here to yesterday, where it was a Thursday to forget for this administration. Kamala Harris didn't do her boss any favors when she sat down for a one-on-one with NBC. She got tripped up on what should have been a pretty obvious question. It sounded like a beauty pageant contestant who was thrown a curveball in an interview.
At what point does the administration say, you know what, this strategy isn't working, we're going to change strategies? Is it time?
It is time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day. Every day it is time for us to agree that there are things and tools that are available to us to slow this thing down.
But this train wreck of an interview by his second in command just continued Biden's no good, terrible Thursday. Joe's vaccine mandate on private businesses, which would have affected more than 80 million Americans, was shot down by the Supreme Court. The nation's highest court told Biden that our personal freedoms outweighed his executive overreach. So as Thursday came to a close, Biden was looking at an 0-for-4 week. And this morning, there was no reprieve as the pain continued for Joe. Biden was forced to admit that he hasn't done a whole lot as president.
There's a lot of talk about disappointments and things we haven't gotten done. We're going to get a lot of them done, I might add.
That's pretty rich, Joe. He admits he hasn't done anything to help the people who elected him, but then slips into a, don't worry, we'll get it done. Unfortunately, we don't believe you, Joe. And things are getting so bad for Biden that even his trusty leftist media has turned on him.
President Joe Biden has had a very tough week with setbacks for his agenda.
Every time I think the White House thought they've hit bottom, there seems to be a new bottom.
The overall sentiment, not just among the American public, but even among Democrats in Washington, people who are allies of this administration, is that this is a really bad period for the Biden administration.
The Biden administration continues to fail every step of the way. And even the left can't hide it anymore. So here's the important question. What is the White House going to do about it? Well, it doesn't look like they have a plan at all. If anything, their frustration is reaching critical levels.
You do hard things in White Houses. You have every challenge laid at your feet, whether it's global or domestically. And we could certainly propose legislation to see if people support bunny rabbits and ice cream, but that wouldn't be very rewarding to the American people.
Bunny rabbits and ice cream. That's what the White House has come to. Well, it's so clear that they are in over their heads. They can't handle the crisis that they're currently facing. So what happens when a new crisis arrives? Like the mother of all supply chain problems that is emerging right now in China. We're still feeling the pain from our current supply chain crisis, and another supply bubble is ready to burst. Economists are warning that if COVID continues to spread across Asia, the disruption to manufacturing could be catastrophic, as we're too reliant on China to make the things that we need. It's been a very bad week for Joe Biden, probably the worst 7 days of his presidency. He saw America's institutions and people reject everything he campaigned on. Nearly 1 year after his inauguration, Joe Biden's presidency has hit a breaking point.
Hey, you'd think last week was bad. You should see all the stuff I've got to do this week. I'm going to be working hard this week. Oh, my God. Press conferences and press releases and oh, my God. And then you catch this Biden guy. Listen to him.
There's a lot of talk about disappointments and things we haven't gotten done. We're going to get a lot of them done, I might add.
Well, if the New World Order didn't have you so busy attacking the American people's freedoms and pushing this COVID vaccine instead of treating the disease, then maybe you'd get a little bit more done beneficial for the American people, Joe. But no, you've been too busy demonizing the American people on January 6th so you can ensure your team's continuation of the plandemic and the poisoning of the world population for your superiors and your brothers in death that you took an oath of. You know, he was talking about that sacred oath shit again. And I'm going to be covering that all week long. Because you know what? I'm sick of your sacred oaths to the Illuminati, Joe. And if you had any self-respect in the family, they'd come after the New World Order for exploiting their grandfather and their great-grandfather and husband and all that, because he's a Manchurian candidate. It's obvious he's under mind control. It's obvious that they've got him under a scientific spell. It's not even your family member anymore, man. I mean, yeah, he's a dirty old crooked politician pervert, man, but right now he's just a mind control shell of a man that he used to be. He's just a puppet up there, and you know what? He's a perfect tool for the New World Order to use for some kind of assassination to be blamed on a fake enemy. You know, I wouldn't doubt if they didn't put Joe up on the altar of the sacred oaths that he took and turn around and backstab him on the altar to the New World Order's gods. And for you agents out there, that's not a plot or a plan or anything, man. That's, you know, you guys should protect our president. You should put more effort into protecting our president from the domestic threat that he's under with whatever handlers, CIA handlers and mind control handlers that are handling him, because I think his life's in danger. I mean, look at him. He is not doing good. That is not a popular president that got votes and stuff. That's not even the same man from last year. So maybe if you agents and stuff weren't wasting your time spying on the American people and all that and trying to demonize us, and you were focusing on doing your job, you might be able to find out some of this stuff for yourself and pay attention and have the resources to find out if our president's in danger and who's handling him and who the crooks really are. Oh, and the American people are good, forgiving people. All we want to do is arrest these people and give them a fair trial according to the Constitution and the Republic. If you people would just get your head out of your ass and help the American public, help us get the American public to understand and get the damn media out of the way with their blasting mouths that are coming straight out of the Davos group and these pharmaceutical companies and special interests, so that we could save ourselves from this attack we're under. Do your job and quit wasting your time on us, man. We're not the threat. You know, the threat is coming from the inside. It's an inside and outside job. It's inside the New World Order. It's an international order, an international economic order coming out of the Davos group and that Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates and the Rockefeller Foundations. And whistleblowers should take into account immunity. The American public is very forgiving. You come forward, even if you're a top level, like Jen Psaki or something. I mean, that girl's a puppet. She's just reading her lines, collecting her check. She's mind warped. She went through the higher educational brainwashing facilities of the New World Order and the elite stuff. She's been getting her ego stroked. She's been getting pushed up along the lines. And she does everything that they tell her to do, and her program and her life advances. And that's the way mostly everybody is. And she's trained brilliantly in public relations, because I've watched her from her hand movements and the expressions on her face and her body movements. She's fully trained. Now, whether or not she's using Masonic hand symbols, that's beyond my comprehension. I know a little bit about them, but I'm not an expert in that stuff. I mean, and I'm skeptical about it when people break it down, because they're reaching it sometimes, it seems. Like, I don't know, man. She looked like she was cracking a knuckle. But that just seems, you know, I leave that up for them kind of experts that deal with symbology and the Masonic aspects of the Illuminati. But, I mean, listen to what Jen Psaki had to say about all this. It's completely ridiculous.
hard things in White Houses. You have every challenge laid at your feet, whether it's global or domestically. And we could certainly propose legislation to see if people support bunny rabbits and ice cream, but that wouldn't be very rewarding to the American people.
Yeah, you have to do hard things in White Houses, like what Kamala's been doing is redecorating and redesigning instead of her job, which she's actually assigned to the border. And that's why nothing's getting done down there. There's hard things that need to be done in that White House, huh, Jen? Is that right, Jen? That's what you're saying? Making legislation for, what is that, biscuits and bunny rabbits?
And we could certainly propose legislation to see if people support bunny rabbits and ice cream, but that wouldn't be very rewarding to the American people.
Ice cream and bunny rabbits. Anyhow, you wouldn't make legislation to see. You would appoint a committee to study whether or not they wanted to be interested in it, Jen. Stick with the prompters. Stick with the prompters. Trust me. Stick with your notes. Meanwhile, what the hell is up with Kamala? Did you hear her? Holy crap, she must be really, really tired from redesigning that White House. I mean, holy crap, she was so sluggish. I mean, did you hear her?
At what point does the administration say, you know what, this strategy isn't working, we're going to change strategies? Is it time?
It is time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day. Every day it is time for us to agree that there are things and tools that are available to us to slow this thing down.
Oh my, actually after listening to it again, maybe our vice president has a little bit of a drug problem. Maybe, that's not a sluggish, that's a slur. Hey, intelligence officers, I think you should get off of my case and go get on the case at the White House and see if Biden's in danger with his handlers. God knows what they're doing to that man. And check in to see if Kamala has some kind of a drug problem, you know, because I don't know what's going on around here, you know. But I heard something about Pelosi this week. Now check this crap out.
We all know about Hunter Biden's dirty deeds. But Sleepy Joe isn't the only top Democrat with a son with some shady business ties. The Daily Mail reports that Nancy Pelosi's son, Paul Pelosi Jr., was involved with five separate companies that were each investigated by federal agencies, including a biofuel company that defrauded investors, another company that was previously caught up in an investigation of scam calls that targeted senior citizens, and a medical company accused of testing drugs on people without FDA authorization. But hey, maybe he's just really business savvy, like his mommy and his daddy, whose stock moves are followed by retail traders on TikTok who are looking to be as rich as the Speaker of the House. Miranda Devine is a New York Post columnist and Fox News contributor, and she's here with us now. Miranda, always great to have you on. You're one of my favorites. We hear so much about Hunter Biden, and his story is obviously so colorful with hookers and cocaine and pornography. But now we're hearing about Nancy Pelosi's son. Tell us what he's been up to.
Well, look, there is obviously a corruption problem in Washington, and Paul Pelosi Jr., who's one of Nancy Pelosi's children, has obviously been profiting by his involvement in various companies, which all seem to have come under the investigations of the FBI and the Justice Department for various shady dealings. And most unfortunate for him to have been propelled into high positions in some of these companies. And the companies have fallen into disrepute, but yet nothing has happened to him. And that really is a pattern that we also saw with Hunter Biden. And I think, look, the difference, I guess, here is Joe Biden internationalized what has really been a disease in Washington of influence peddling. We've known that mm-hmm. for many decades, and Joe Biden was a past master of it in Delaware and with his very powerful positions in the Senate. And then, of course, he internationalized it when he became vice president. Now, Nancy Pelosi, we also know, has herself enriched herself, as you just mentioned, on these stock picks, which were extremely lucky, over companies that she had regulatory authority over. So that is very suspect and really unfortunate that the Speaker of the House is dabbling in that.
Yeah, it's shady. I mean, Martha Stewart went to jail for that. Why aren't the Pelosis?
Well, exactly. And Nancy Pelosi, when this was raised in Congress, came out and said, oh, it's a free market and we're entitled to do what we like. They are shameless, the Democrats in particular, but I mean, Republicans are also involved in this. They're absolutely shameless in their refusal to be accountable. You don't go into Congress to enrich yourself, but this is what so many of these people have done. It's really disgusting. And then to be, lecturing other countries about corruption when you're behaving in the same or worse fashion. I mean, we saw with the Bidens and with Hunter Biden, Joe Biden was there in Ukraine telling them that they have to do something about their corruption problems while out the back door his son was getting, millions of dollars. We know whether it be Russia or China or Kazakhstan or Ukraine, this sort of corruption is commonplace. You don't give the money to the powerful person. You give the money to what in China are called princelings. This is the sons, sometimes daughters, of powerful people, of the oligarchs, of the rulers. And you give the money to them because you're wanting to curry favour with their father or their mother in Pelosi's case.
Yeah. The princelings. Well, Randa, every day we look a little more like China. It's very sad. Again, the great Miranda Devine, thank you for joining me tonight.
Thank you, Ray.
Well, I've told you over and over again, China is the model of the New World Order. You can see my video of it that I put up 14 years ago on it. It's up at Harry Thomas. Well, it's actually up at youtube.com/HarryThomasInfo. But, we are going the way of China, and I don't understand why people don't see that. But more than that, your resources. Did you hear that, intelligence officers? I mean, the crooks are not us. The crooks are the people that are sending you out to investigate us. It's like, why don't you go investigate these people out here, the American people, while we commit all the crimes inside the Capitol? Yeah. You see where I'm getting at? Listen to them.
Yeah, it's shady. I mean, Martha Stewart went to jail for that. Why aren't the Pelosis?
Well, because the Pelosis aren't going to go to jail for that because they're wasting all their assets and resources on chasing straws that don't exist, inventing a false flag that don't exist. Plus, Pelosi is a friend of the family, you know what I mean? It's like Goodfellas. She's a friend of ours. And that's who you should be investigating, that cretin. Who the hell is handling her, that creature? And Chucky Schumer is not a senator in New York because he's a straight arrow. I mean, come on. It's the Empire State. And that unelected Kathy Hochul invoking the president in her State of the New York speech, one after another. Who are they setting her to be up for? 2020, there's going to be no more elections. Oh, nothing fair. And then they're in there with the propaganda. Oh, the Republicans are trying to block fair elections. No, you're trying to open up mailbox elections and people who can register to vote and vote right there on the day of the election. That's what you're doing right here in New York. It was on the ballots in the last election. Promoting mailbox voting and that you could register to vote and vote the day of the election. And I don't even think you'd need an ID. They can check it within 10 days or something, the stipulation was. It is ridiculous. But there you have it for this segment. You can check everything at harrythomas.info, harrythomasshow.com. I'm everywhere. I can't even get into it, man. Just get involved in this fight for our lives, man. We have to stand tall against this attack, against our families and our way of life, man, because together we will make a difference. Thank you for listening.